Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
I think I need to apologize. I think I do. It doesn't happen that often, but I have to admit when
we know that.
Yeah, I have to admit when something happens that I didn't see coming, that I thought was never going to show up, was not going to happen, and it happens. I got to acknowledge that. I got to acknowledge it. And tonight's a good night to do it because the big late game in the bubble in Orlando saw the Rockets and Blazers come down to the wire. You know, look, the Rockets, a very big surprise team here in the NBA so far as being able to turn the league on its ear with its small ball play, and we'll have more on that coming up in a bit. But it looked like the Rockets were going to put the Blazers on the ropes and cement their big comeback late in the fourth quarter until, with a minute left to go, guess who salted it away for the Blazers?
Shot clock at 12. Crosses over. He attacks, dribbles, drives, and kicks. Out to CJ. Out to Melo. Straight away. Three is good! Carmelo Anthony knocks it down, and the Blazers are up 5.
Blazers Radio Network on the call. Boy, it sounds like there's fans there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Melo with that huge three, and you could see him celebrate. Part of a 15-point, 11-rebound night for him. He played 36 minutes as Portland beats Houston 110-102. Now, obviously, this game meaning a lot more for Portland than Houston. Just look at the minutes played, all right? Lillard and McCollum had 40 minutes apiece, all right? That's a really big deal. You still saw the Rockets players playing in the 30s, but you're talking, you know, we've been playing a week and suddenly, all right, our big guys got to play because the Blazers want to get into the playoffs, want to figure out a way, and every game counts when you are at the bottom of the Western Conference standings. But for Melo, I got to apologize. I had said on many occasions, Melo was done. Right? How many times did I say, look, Melo's done, right? He's done.
Too many to count.
He can't even – every workout footage that he posted, he was limping around. I was like, he's done. He can't do it anymore. Who wants Melo? He's not going to be able to do it. And all he's done since taking this last chance offer with the Blazers, which remember, the Blazers wanted him a year and a half ago when he was looking for a new team. The Blazers, come here. And Melo said, no. The Blazers once again said, Melo, come here. He had no choice. Melo, since he has come to the Blazers and he started tonight, Melo has been much, much better than I thought he's been. Look, he's scoring 15 a night, still pulling down 6 rebounds. And you look at his point totals in the previous three games, 21, 13, 15. The layoff has been good for him. Certain players, the layoff has been good for. And it's not like he was a slouch before that. He had a couple of 20-point games. He had really fallen into that groove with the Blazers. He has fit in well. He has put his ego aside, knowing that this is my last chance in the NBA to show that I can do things. Now, does this mean he's going to be with the Blazers after this year? Maybe not, because this is showing the NBA I can still play, and he's hoping that a bigger contender will say, hey, come play here, still play the important minutes, and maybe you can get a championship. But right now, I honestly was wrong. I thought Melo was done, and I'm stunned that he's playing this well before the restart and now after the restart. I got to give him credit.
Maybe doing a little bit of flexing over to his buddy LeBron, saying, hey, could have used another shooter, another guy. Okay, maybe not. But either way, the point is, one of the great scorers we've seen. I mean, folks forget how good he was playing for a lot of bad teams. Just you really paid more attention to just how poor the team is. He's currently 32 points on the all-time scoring list for number 16 behind John Havlicek. So, I mean, you talk about a guy filling it up, over 26,000 career points. Good to have a little bit of resurgence, got himself in shape, leaned out during the quarantine. And one of those X factors, I talked about the Blazers earlier in the show as my, let's go from the back of the pack. Just get in, and once you're in the dance, you can create some chaos. This is Carmelo Anthony. These are your Portland Trailblazers.
Amazing. Like that? I can't believe Melo. He's bought in. He's done everything that I didn't think he would do at this point in his career. All the stuff that he's got, he's not going to do that. He's done. He can't run around.
Well, when faced with no other choice, sometimes you just look around and go, all right, this is it. It's not necessarily the, you know, second to last or third to last or whatever, right? What do they call him, LeBron James? This is his best last chance or some kind of phraseology. With Carmelo, he was done.
Yeah.
And they gave him a lifeline. And so what's he going to do? Make the most of it. You got a couple of capable guards that move the ball well and find you for some open shots and took care of business on the glass today. He was fantastic and a nice little feel-good moment. We need him in this weird pandemic year of 2020. The resurgence of Carmelo Anthony, if that's one of the side effects, I'm in.
You know, and it's not like he's only playing it. He's playing over 30 minutes a game. I don't know. Now, look, part of it is, and I do believe this, would he be this effective if he played the entire season, you had to get in the playoffs, or would tread come off his tires?
Oh, no, no.
That would happen. Yeah, so clearly this schedule's more advantageous to him, got to give him credit because it's not like he was slowing down. I mean, he was up playing 30, 35 minutes a game before the break, scoring 20, 25, at 30-point nights. He was playing that well. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I was wrong. I was wrong, and Melo has been fantastic.
I don't say
I'm wrong very often. But I was wrong. Melo's been
even
right.
Though you are, you yeah. still.
No, I'm not. I'm not really. But I was wrong about this. And that's okay.
Okay,
we'll it was
check
one
the
thing.
Tape.
I mean, listen, Melo got me a championship in 2003. You know, I'm all set with that.
You know, off your claim that you never are, I'll channel Frostberg, who our producer from home, to say we'll decide.
Oh, no, that's just fake news. Whatever he comes up with is stuff that's manipulated. Frostberg sits at home every night doing whatever he's doing, and he finds ways to put fake videos on the internet, and it's just – I don't buy it. I don't buy it. It's all fake news.
That escalated quickly.
It's all fake. meanwhile, a pretty sobering day could be coming our way tomorrow when it comes to college football. We're going to have Pete Futek, one of our best college football insiders, coming up in a few minutes to break this down. But the past few days, the different Power Five conferences have come through with their plans for the college football season. All of them have been a variation of, we're going to play 10 games, we're going to play all conference games or maybe 9 conference games and 1 out-of-conference game. We're not going to travel very far. We're going to start at the end of September. We've seen this become the norm as all the Power Five conferences want to do this so they can tell the NCAA, you got to let us play. We figured it out. And before you come down with your decision, we figured out you got to let us play. We've done it. But also in the past few days, we have seen certain things pop up that potentially the NCAA is not going to like. The We Are United movement going on in the Pac-12 where players say we're not being treated right. We're not being given the right safety measures for COVID-19. Colorado State had players say today, hey, we have coaches telling us not to tell anyone we're testing positive, not to let anybody know. And if you tell anyone, there's going to be repercussions. So you're seeing pockets of player concerns pop up across the country. Now, is this widespread? No, but it's still not anything you want to hear as you're getting ready for a college football season. So we get this statement from the NCAA tonight from President Mark Emmert. I'm going to read this to you. This came out right before the show started. Quote, the Board of Governors and I today continued our discussion about the NCAA's ability to proceed with our 22 fall championships in light of the COVID-19 trend lines. Right, now, this is where things get serious. In order to ensure the health and well-being of college athletes, we have to consider all the implications when determining our next steps, and we plan to provide an update to our membership and the public tomorrow. This is what's coming tomorrow from NCAA President Mark Emmert. I hear this, and I'm not thinking we're getting the, hey, guess what, everybody? College football is going to happen right on time. We're ready to go. I'm not seeing that as being the overwhelming impetus of this message, considering Emmert is saying, we'll update you. We are thinking about the safety of our student athletes. I'm not getting the warm fuzzies that it's going to be, yeah, college football. And he's going to be wearing an LSU Bama hat going, yeah, we're ready for the season. I don't think we're getting that tomorrow. If I had to wager what we would get, I would say this. I would say Mark Emmert is going to put out a statement saying to the effect, we want to move forward with sports. We don't know enough about COVID-19, nor do we know enough about what everybody's plans are going to be to fight the virus and keep our athletes safe. So the beginning of fall sports for the beginning of September will be put on pause until further notice. And what this means is, this is Mark Emmert, the NCAA, saying, okay, you guys want to play, fine, but you got to show me that you have all of this buttoned down, that your plan for the kids is going to be a safe one. Because in the end, we will look horrible because these are not professionals making decisions, getting paid hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. These are kids. These are kids. And you can tell me till you're blue in the face that, oh, kids recover quickly. We're not going to have kids get sick and die. We're not going to have it. That's not going to happen. And I'm seeing too many pockets of kids who say, we don't have a voice right now, and our school is making us do something that we're not comfortable with. We're not going to go into the season having this go on. So you guys want to play, this is the beginning of August, and you have the rest of this month and the first half of September to show all of us that you have this buttoned down, and then we can talk about playing, and we can play fall sports the end of September. That's kind of what I'm going to gather is the message from the NCAA coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, I think there's potential for chaos here, trying to kick the can down the road. Remember, the NCAA, while the overarching umbrella do a lot of things, most is left, you know, just like federal to state government. Same thing here. Conferences are going to decide. And maybe it pushes it a bit, and they'll cite some of the stuff going on with Colorado State and whatever else as reasons to pause pending more data, see if they address the Pac-12 thing at all. That'll be curious from the conference side. But you're also looking at all the other non-revenue generating sports. I hate to have to term them that way, but let's call it what it is. Meagerly revenue generating sports that you're going to have to make a decision on them. So if you're going to bring football back, you can't do it without having a bunch on the other to balance that scale somewhat. To say that, you know, all are student athletes, because otherwise now you're treating them differently, and now all of these different issues that are being put out in the social media and played out in the media become a little more slanted. Not that anybody likes the NCAA and some of their rulings and the practices and how the way things have worked, and then maybe looking for change. This is not the place they're going to want to litigate that. Not to mention, they may actually just say, hey, we got to get with our lawyers about liability. Coached and couched however they need to in whatever legalese and language they want to put out. But that's the other thing that just looms over all of this, is just liability concerns, particularly when it comes to high school or collegiate athletics.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Big news today in college football. We read you the statement a few minutes ago. Going to bring it back for you right now before we bring our next guest on. As the NCAA looks like they're going to give us a big-time decision on the immediate future of college football tomorrow, NCAA President Mark Emmert putting out this statement right before our show began tonight. The Board of Governors and I today continued our discussion about the NCAA's ability to proceed with our 22 fall championships in light of the COVID-19 trend lines. In order to ensure the health and well-being of college athletes, we have to consider all the implications when determining our next steps, and we plan to provide an update to our membership and the public tomorrow. So doesn't sound like this is going to be college football, and hey, we're going to see Nick Saban and everybody. Wondering what this means. This is why we bring on our next guest. Your one-stop shopping for everything you need in college football is collegefootballnews.com. The proprietor, editor, and grand poobah, Pete Futek, friend of the show, stopping by tonight. Pete, what's happening, man?
Wait, I'm going to push back. You're putting the police in the soft rock category?
It's T-shirt. I can only do so much, Pete.
No, that's like Air Supply or, you know, Christopher Cross or Yacht or Michael McDonald and things. The police were kind of punky back in the day. They're kind of a quirky new wave band before they really hit it. So I'm going to argue that one a little bit.
No, that's okay, because I try to tell Tyshirt, yes, it is things like, I'm all out of love, I'm so lost without you, and instead he plays
absolutely.
Nickelback. And instead
there's
he gives
a whole infomercial for 3 hours in the middle of the night.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's soft rock is, but that's not why you called.
Of course it is. No, this is why we called you, Pete. We're not going to talk college football at all. We're just going to talk about soft rock.
That's fine. It's probably more interesting anyway. Look, excuse me, Stuart, I speak NCAA. Look, first of all, that statement from the NCAA is, if I can read the NCAA speak, is how this works. Remember that the NCAA doesn't control college football. They control all the other sports. And so my gut feeling guess is, one, either they're going to say we're postponing all fall sports until October-ish or something, until they can figure out what the hell else to do. Or two, they're going to say, you know what, forget it, we can't do fall sports, but that doesn't include football because they don't control the bowl system or the college football playoff. So they can. I think it doesn't have anything really to do with college football, more than it is just sort of an optics thing that it's going to be weird if there's college football, if there's no other sports. But remember also is that the NCAA might be providing an out because none of these colleges can afford non-revenue sports. So maybe they're just saying, we're just going to shut it down for that for the season.
How much of this, Pete, was going to be, because this is, I think, part of it is that in the last few days, we have now seen the We Are United movement of players in the Pac-12 who feel like, hey, we're not being treated the best. Colorado State, which we'll get to in a few minutes, the players are saying coaches are bullying them into not saying things about COVID-19. How much of this is the NCAA going, hang on a second, you guys got to make sure that this is not something that keeps cropping up every couple of days where players are saying we're not being treated right?
Honestly, I think that this is the NCAA not having the first freaking clue what to do.
Wow.
And it is absolutely, I mean, they don't have it. None of them do. And it's insane. I was just before all this, I'm watching the Minnesota Vancouver game, and they threw out the stat that 7,019 tests in the NHL were administered in the last week with zero positives.
Right.
The freaking NHL figured it out. You're getting dunked on, to use my mixing up my sports metaphors. You're getting dunked on by the NHL. Like, really, NFL and college football, you can't figure out, but the NHL is going off without a hitch? Like, this is kind of crazy. And for some reason, football types just, I think part of it is you have a culture that doesn't quite buy in to the whole COVID thing, and that's kind of a problem. And then it's starting to buy in when it's convenient. You saw today the governor of Mississippi finally put together a mask mandate because he wants college football to happen. It's like, okay, so basically you're saying you're just kind of being a jerkweed before and you don't care about masks, but now you want college football, you're going to do this? It's all kind of insane. But at some point, I'm waiting for college football, the authoritarian rule that it has the ability to be, just to lock it down and say, you know what, guys, enough. We're locking down everyone. If you want to play college football, you're going to create a school-by-school bubble in your athletic dorms and go from there.
Bubbles for everyone. What did you make of Sunday's Players Tribune drop of the list of demands, the all-encompassing, we want revenue, we want goodwill, and we want you, Mr. Scott, to solve racial inequality?
I'll let you finish. I want a hamburger. I want a cheeseburger. I want
exactly.
A hot dog. I want a milkshake. Look, I'm 100% behind the players. I am a players' rights advocate. They're not asking for anything they should not have. So they're not being crazy here. And I've never quite understood why people get so upset over the idea of college athletes getting money, because it's not their money that they're giving away. It's, the school's money that they are just taking in and giving it to the other, parts of the school. But in this, the problem is it's kind of all over the place. To me, they've got to win the PR battle, and they seem to try to win that right out of the gate with their first couple lines being around racial injustice and, rejecting the NCAA, saying that Black Lives Matter in their case. And like, look, you're not going to lose that battle. You're not going to lose when you're starting to claim that you want changes for racial injustice. Of course, no problem there.
But then the problem with that is it's not focused the rest of the way, because the one thing that they could absolutely 1,000% win on is if the players say, look, we're boycotting until we get Spencer Strassmore-level third-party representation that can make sure, that can argue on our behalf, that makes sure that the COVID testing is, you know, to the level it needs to be so that we're safe when we go out there and play. Everybody would be on board with that. They would win that argument without a problem. So the three things they need are representation, representation, and representation. Without that, you know, there's a reason why the rich adults in the Pac-12 and the NCAA are where they are. They're not going to just kowtow to these demands just because, you know, they're being demanded right now. They're just going to say, okay, fine, you know what, if you want to opt out and not play and boycott, no problem. There are about 100 other walk-ons and a lot of guys out there ready to transfer to a Power 5 school that we can go play college football with for 10 games this year, and then we move on to 2021. And in 2021, at that point, no one's going to have any appetite for any of this.
Well, Pete, what if it's Trevor Lawrence and Chuba Hubbard, and these are the guys, you know, the five big high-profile guys in college football say, we're going to boycott unless everybody's taken care of. Does that make a difference?
No, because, they're not going to just scuttle the ship of this system for 1 year, because going for, look, they hold all the cards. Again, I'm for the players. They're dead on right with all this stuff. They have no leverage. They just, there's nothing they can do, because the one area they're also not focusing on, and it's a harder fight, it's a different fight, but part of their problem is the whole NFL 3 year out of high school rule. Like, there's nowhere you can go. If you're a college basketball star prospect, you can go overseas. You've got a ton of other options. Or at worst, you're only 1 year out, and then you can go to the NBA. NFL, you have nothing. You're either out of the, you know, you're either playing or you're sitting out. That's the stigma of that, which is the absolute right move. Now Micah Parsons from Penn State's going to sit out. Rashad Bateman from Minnesota's sitting out. You should be doing that. Trevor Lawrence should not be playing this year. You know, these top players should not be playing when you have multi-millions of dollars ahead of you, especially in this weird season.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon from the Geico Studios on the hotline with us. collegefootballnews.com. He is the publisher. He is the writer. He's the man with all the knowledge and joins us on the show here each and every week. It's our buddy Pete Futek. Find him on Twitter at Pete Futek. F-I-U-T-A-K is the surname. To that end, you know, and that's always been the billion-dollar question, is this how The Rock got the XFL for $15 million? Is this the end around? It could become that breeding ground?
It's, you know what? It's art imitating life. It's, if you watched Ballers, it's not a crazy thought. You know, it's not, I mean, these other pop-up leagues never seem to work. But, yeah, that's part of this, is that they might be able to find a home for players who are sick of this. Now, but the thing about it is with college football more than any other sport has a fan base that cheers for the uniforms. Like, college basketball, you kind of need the stars because you don't have that many players. So while we all love March Madness, the idea of watching a random college basketball Saturday, you're just kind of watching a bunch of guys. But it's not like it was in the 80s and 90s. But college football, okay, you know, there's this romanticized notion of, you know, the guy who just is sort of a good college player and he turns into a college legendary star without any NFL skills. You know, that's happened throughout the history of the sport. So I don't think that the players have a whole lot of leverage for the immediate moment, but that's certainly going to change if they have representation and if they get the things that they should be having, like name, image, and license all to themselves without any parameters on it or guardrails. And they should have a whole lot better treatment when it comes to their health insurance and all that other sort of fun stuff.
All right, Pete, if I had say to you, all right, complete this sentence for me after what we're going to hear tomorrow and everything else. The college football season will begin blank and with this percentage of teams playing.
Okay, I will say that how this is exactly going to work is that the college football season will start sooner than you think. I mean, it's kind of crazy because it doesn't feel like it, but we're talking, what is it, August 4th? We're going to have college football 3 weeks from now. We're going to have the group of five programs step it up and get out there and play for a couple reasons. One, because they're going to probably be healthy and they're going to be like, let's get out there and go. secondly, because they're going to have the spotlight all to themselves. Because as it stands now, all the Power Five conferences aren't starting until the end of or late September. So if you're a group of five, you're the MAC, you're the Sun Belt, you're Conference USA, you own September football, at least in the college ranks. And for the Power Fives, they're going to be like, okay, dude, you figure it out. And if they're playing and they're the test case is here and it doesn't work for the group of five, okay, well, Power Five is just going to say, okay, we're done. We can't do this. But at the very least, they're going to pretty much sacrifice the lower level conferences and teams to see how this goes. So I'm guessing that we do have college football in some way. I am really doubtful that we have a full season of any sort.
See, I hold out hope. Wow. Why? Maybe I'm just crazy that way.
Well, here's the big quick problem here is going to be, can the colleges get over the idea of no college students on campus and yet continuing college football? Because very quickly, as soon as all those tuition checks clear, you're talking about a real high-end streaming service, which is going to be college this year. And there's not going to be anybody who's going to campuses as normal. So if you can get over the idea that college football players aren't regular students, you can probably do this, but the optics are going to be a little bit bizarre.
Yeah, well, that's why I need those graduate students back in the lab, Steve.
You'll get those. They're going to have those because that's how the schools make money. They're going to
That's what I mean. As long as we have them. They count as students.
Yep, they do. Hey, Joe Burrow took every course online last season. He turned out to be just fine. I think most of the rest of the colleges can do this too. But you're seeing how this goes. As soon as the students get back on campus, what do you do? What would any of us do at any age? One house party later, and okay, there's your outbreak.
I've already gotten my plans together for when this clears. That it's going to be a rave to end all raves.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a whole lot of fun for everybody. Hey, look, Lollapalooza was supposed to happen last weekend. Yeah. That would have been a fun sort of thing. There's going to be fun stuff. They're going to figure – I'm convinced they're going to figure something out. But really, the idea, I think, of this college football season more than any other, when you want to talk about, can Michigan beat Ohio State? Can you have a weird team out there that comes up in the college football playoff? I equate it to like being a car race. Keep your car on the track. If you keep everybody healthy, you got a shot because a lot of these other cars are going to stall out because you're going to have cases in college after college. It's going to be the teams that can really lock it down, and you have one horny idiot go to a party and all of a sudden you're screwed up. So it's going to be really based on the teams who can lock it down the hardest.
He's on Twitter, at Pete Futek. That is at Pete Futek. CollegeFootballNews.com, your one-stop shopping for college football. Also hit him up if you have any questions about what you'd like to see on his soft rock recommendations for an 800-word piece that he's going to put up coming up tomorrow. Pete, as always,
absolutely,
buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll see you.
Love you guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Obviously, as we get closer and closer to the playoffs and the bubble, the three teams that rise above everybody else as far as who the true contenders are to win the NBA title are the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers. Right? In any invention of any form of who the teams that are the big favorites to win that have everything they need, those are the three teams that rise above everybody else. Their talent level, what they have in their bench, these are the ones we talk about. But what teams can win the title that we're not talking about? What teams? Wait a minute. This team can win? What teams can win the title because of how things are? This is a different year, being a sprint through eight games in the playoffs in the bubble. What teams can take advantage of that schedule and win the NBA title? Now, we've told you many times before, the Rockets are one of those teams. Can their small ball style, with the league not having a long enough time to get used to it, not having to worry about playing it out over 82-plus games in playoffs, the Rockets are a team that are built. They can surprise and buzzsaw through people in the playoffs. We've said this for a while now, and when blogs pick it up, hey, congratulations, information is free. But I'll give you one team from the East, Mike, and one team from the West that it wouldn't surprise me if they go win it all. And the first thing I'm going to give you, a team that won a big game tonight without their best player, the Miami Heat. Heat beat the Celtics tonight 112-106 without Jimmy Buckets. Right? Jimmy Buckets was out with a sore ankle. He's fine. This situation for the Heat is made for them, right? They are like 90s Knicks tough. You know, that's the kind of toughness that they have on this team, albeit a 2020 version, because, you know, you can't play defense like you used to in the 90s. But this is a tough team that is made for Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo to rise in the playoffs. They go nine deep, and they got a lot of guys coming off the bench that give them big minutes that can really contribute. Miami would scare the crap out of me if I was anybody in the East, and I can see them putting together a run, and every night it's bucket and Adebayo, it's buckets and Adebayo, and suddenly it's you're getting something off the bench, and it's Dragic who's got a good solution for his ankle injury. It's just a minor sprain. He should be okay in a couple of days. But you see these guys, they're able to come off the bench with offense. They come off the bench with toughness. They come off the bench with defense. This is a really tough team. I don't think anybody wants to play the Heat. Would not shock me if we're saying, oh, the Heat win the title. Would not shock me.
Well, look who they beat. They beat the Celtics. That was one of the next ups behind Milwaukee, and they come up with this huge effort today. Iguodala gives you the tough, gritty, veteran minutes, all of the cliches that you can throw out, because that's really what he is. 30 minutes, 6 points, 8 boards, just all the little things. Tyler Herro hit a couple of big three-point shots, so and you can always sing Fogarty, Bam Adebayo. So that is always good for me as well. When I look at the grid as we go down the list, I mean, I'm watching this Portland Trail Blazers team now, and we mentioned reintegrating the bigs when you got, you know, Nurkic and Collins coming back, that you've got an opportunity here if everything clicks with great guard play. It's almost like we're handicapping the NCAA tournament the way this has been structured, but that gives me a pretty decent lean that you're going to have to be able to grind these games out. And right now, you know, you talked about Houston not shooting at the pace. They put Harden on the floor probably 6-7 times in this game. Every time he drives, it's not the ticky-tack, you're going to get your free throws. No, you're working for him tonight. And I like that toughness.
Yeah, it's something that can really come together. You know, Harrow's a guy that he's not a guy that's going to flee from the moment. He thinks he's the greatest player in the NBA.
There's
give me the ball, I'll take
that.
These shots. I mean, watch out for the Miami Heat. I'll give you this team out of the West now, and they'd have a lot to do to get up over everybody, but I could see on the shoulders of Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis the Mavericks making
Look
a big run, and maybe they're unstoppable. And it's like the Mavericks run through the playoffs a few years ago when they got their title, when Dirk suddenly turned into the best player on the planet, and they shocked the Lakers, and they won the title, and it was, boy, well, you'd think Dirk would at least get one, as good as he's been, but their offense, which is the best in the NBA, I mean, it's so incredibly good and incredibly efficient. I can see that in this short amount of time where Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, who, let's face it, Porzingis' health over the course of 82 games would be in question, and the playoffs would be in question. Doesn't have to make it through all these games now. He's had to be healthy, has to play now, has to play through the playoffs, and maybe he can make it through a couple of months. And if that this may be that time for them to create that level of dominance, and suddenly, boy, they pulled an upset in the first round, but they're not going to win the second round. Boy, they won the second round. Boy, they won the third round. There's no home court. They got to worry about not having it in certain rounds of the playoffs. Watch out. It wouldn't surprise me if the Mavericks made a big run and suddenly we're talking about Doncic and Porzingis and Knicks fans want to just go crazy and light their hair on fire.
Yes, they would. I have a Porzingis autograph Knicks jersey. I'll have to update that to a Mavericks one at some point here in the near future, because he came back and he was looking sharp. He got a great looking haircut and he's been aggressive. I think that's it. That's been the key. He was only 6 of 18 from the field, but 7 rebounds, I should say. What was he? 10 of 11 from the free throw line. So getting it done before falling out. But yeah, the Mavericks are a team that are going to be interesting to watch as they flow. And I think everybody's jumped on board the Raptors bandwagon to a degree, because you're trying to find somebody else in the East. Right.
Well, they are the defending champions, even though they don't have Kawhi. They still are the defending champions.
As soon as Kawhi walks out the door, it becomes what about those guys?
Yeah. Oh, sure. And they have validated already. No matter how far they go, nobody thought they were going to be this good. I didn't think they were going to be this good. I mean, Fred VanVleet's going to make so much money next year.
He is so good.
Oh, my God. He's going to make cash.
And Nick Nurse, I know he was on with Colin earlier this morning. I mean, all of a sudden you got a guy, you know, you're talking philosophies and talking about buy-in and just all of these guys going, all right, we got to prove it again without the quiet superstar to lead us. And I mean, Siakam's a beast, right? Eventually everybody's going to be able to say his name, kind of like Giannis took a couple of years because Siakam still gets his butchered a little bit, his surname. So we'll see how fast people embrace him, but Houston, or I should say, I'm watching Houston pass. They actually passed the ball four times out of possession. That's why it just shocked me, because I don't think I've ever seen that from a Houston Rockets possession. But yeah, watching them play the last couple of days, there's certainly enough depth and championship metal. These guys all got tested last year, so they're ready and up to the task. And yes, our guy VanVleet getting it done.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.